Okay, if you would, get your Bible out. We're going to look at three Bible verses this morning. I think this is the third part of a series. Distinguishing the Voice of the Lord, Part 3. Now listen up, everybody. You know, we saw previous teachings that Solomon's desire, his greatest desire, was to hear God's voice. And God gave it to him. And we saw that there are lots of... last week we saw that one of the reasons it's difficult to hear God's voice is you got to learn to hear God through others before you're going to hear it directly. I really believe the key to hearing God's voice is submission to authority. Because Jesus said, he that hears you hears me. And as you're under authority and learn to hear God's voice through the vessels of the Lord, then his voice directly becomes clearer. It's a meek and quiet spirit that hears God. Rebelliousness, rebellion, self-will, just breeds demonic or religious spirits. You know, I always have, I don't associate with a lot of people like I have in the past, being the pastor here, but I know y'all do. There's a lot of people out there that hear God say a lot of things all the time. They particularly go to these bigger churches, and the Lord is telling me this, the Lord is telling me that, and all this stuff. And I've learned that in most cases, people are missing it. In the majority of cases, I don't really know that it's the Lord is telling them all these things. A lot of times, it's just their own fancy, their desires. They believe it's a good thing, not a God thing. What I found is when I sense a meekness, a brokenness, and a humility, and a submission, particularly submission to authority, then I'm more likely inclined to believe it's the Lord. And there's a lot of ministers and men and women out there with all these labels in front of their names. And I get emails and flyers all the time about these big conferences. It's prophetic this. I saw some guy the other day. No, it was a woman. She was the it was the prophetic apostolic, and then who was her name? She was the prophetic apostolic Glenda whatever. And I thought, come on, man. I mean, even if she has a prophetic apostolic thingy, I wouldn't put it in front of my name. I mean, it's like, now, you need to hear me because I'm a prophetic apostolic person. Amen? Now, me, hey, I'm prophetic apostolic evangelical pastor teacher. The third and mister to you. That's Mr. Apostle to you, dude. Prophet, sir. Okay, I'm sorry. I think the Holy Ghost is gagging. I guess, is there gagging in heaven? guys, it's sickening. Did you know Jesus, read in Matthew 23, Jesus had his belly full. He even really ripped the Pharisees for that. These labels. He said, do not call any man rabbi. We have our father. You have one father. He got his belly full of this stuff. It's religious gaga. And it says the church is full of it. And these people here, like, I love this. I went on a website, and there's certain individuals that all kind of associated around the Peter Wagner bunch. And a couple of them I knew well at one point. And they had these big conferences now called What the Holy Spirit is Saying Today. And you go out, people all over the country go to hear all these What the Holy Spirit is Saying Today. Well, I do believe at that conference, in that meeting, at that moment, they are telling what the Holy Ghost is saying today, what he's saying to that group in that room at that day. Yes, I do believe it. But you understand? I do believe the Holy Ghost will reveal what he's saying to them there. But the presumption is we're going to tell you what the Holy Ghost is saying today to the whole church. And I really believe you can't do that with God, because I think God doesn't like to be confined. Go to some conference in Spokane, spend $110, the hotel room special, and $110 thing, go buy tapes and CDs, and then you can hear what the Holy Ghost is saying today for the whole church at large. I'm really of the belief system that they don't have a clue what the Holy Ghost is saying today. So anyway, we're talking about distinguishing the voice of the Lord, three verses, Psalm 131. We're going to close this series by saying, why is it so hard sometimes to hear the voice of the Lord? I want to talk about three things. There's three reasons why it's often so hard to distinguish God's voice. Real simple. Basic. You've heard these things before. It's good to go back over them. Psalm 131, 1-2. Let the Lord convict you, because if you're deficient in these areas, that may be why you're dull of hearing, and you tend to hear a lot of things other than the simple, quiet, still voice of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 131, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. That is a good verse to read. Surely I behaved and quieted myself, or the margin reads, quieted my soul. As a child is weaned of his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. Folks, the first reason we don't hear the voice of the Lord as clearly, you ready? It's inconsistent quiet times. It's that simple. Inconsistent quiet times. He says, I have quieted myself. The King James, I've quieted. I've gone into a quiet place. He leads us by the still waters. He restores our soul. It's coming to be said, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. It's wise that we get still and quiet. Like I wrote a pamphlet once, putting quiet in your quiet time. Some of us have quiet times and it's a noisy quiet time. It's a monologue. We do all the talking. We never shut up and listen. It's always important in your quiet time, whether you're praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, talking to the Lord about stuff, reading the Word, stop at some point and listen. Get still. It's okay. That's part of the quiet time. Just say, Lord, remember how it was little Samuel? Was it little Samuel said when he was laying in the bed and Eli the priest was down the hall and he would hear, God would speak to Samuel. Says, Samuel, Samuel. The Lord always spoke twice. And he ran down to Papa Eli. And he says, here I am. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Well, the third time he said, well, Samuel, listen, say this. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Remember? And so sure enough, he's laying in bed. Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. You know, my pastor, my first pastor, Doug Westmoreland in Beaumont in the early 70s, we lived in a refurbished Baptist church, and a bunch of young guys living in, you know, had bunks everywhere. It was a community situation. And Doug Westmoreland, when you walked in the front of the Baptist church called the One Way Inn, that's what they renamed it, to the left, to the right was a room where me and another guy stayed, a couple of us, and to the left was Doug's room. Pastor, he had a little bathroom back there. That was the pastor's little room. He actually, his family was in Shreveport, where he'd come down and live in Beaumont, go back on weekends sometimes. And, well, Doug spent his time in the Word. He's a marvelous teacher of the Word. And one day, the door was open, and I looked in there, and he had, over the ceiling, when he laid down, a piece of paper tape where he'd look at it, said, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. So that when he'd lay down, he'd be looking at that phrase right above his bed. Now, I've never forgotten that. And I think that man had an intimate relationship with the Lord. Every time he laid down, that reminded him, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Because he recognized the Lord wants to speak to us in our quiet times. There's so much noise and talk and chatter. You got to get still to hear the still voice. And now, in fact, let me tell you something for you. One word sums up demonization more than any other. You want to hear something convicting? One word sums up demonization more than any other. Restlessness. Fidgetiness. Restlessness. People that just never get still. They can't ever get still. They're just always... People like that drive you nuts. I mean, they just... It transfers, you know? Then you're doing that. They need a quiet time. Amen? Just go get still. Amen? And you know, it's discipline to get still. You got to learn to sit. That's what he says. I behaved and quieted myself. It's humility. It's go to God and say, because sometimes you try to get still and your mind is going all over. Well, thank God for speaking in tongues. The greatest weapon I know to get still is not in my mind. It's singing and speaking in tongues. Just sing in tongues. A lot of times I start my quiet time just singing in the Spirit until the mind shuts down. How many of y'all, the first time you get up, as soon as you get up, your mind's kicking in? I mean, you're stumbling to the bathroom, and there's the mind already talking about what's going to happen later today. Give it a rest. Well, you know what? If you get to that quiet time, folks, just begin to sing in the Spirit and find. So that's the first thing. If you'll just have a quiet time every day, simple little prescription, God's voice is going to be clear. Can hear the man. What's the second thing? Three things today. Hebrews 3:7. Three reasons why it's often hard to distinguish and hear the voice of the Lord. Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear his voice. That's a good opening line. He's going to tell you what's necessary to hear the voice. Harden not your hearts. He's talking about the Israelites as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. You know, 40 years they had manna falling from heaven, all kind of supernatural things, but their heart was hard. I was grieved with that whole generation. They always err in their heart. They've not known my ways. And so I swear in my wrath, they'll not enter my rest. Verse 12. Take heed, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You ready? Here it is, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. There it is. Folks, do you know you can be saved and blow it off and end up lost? I'm sorry. There's the verse. We're made partakers of Christ if we hold it. You cannot come into this thing and quit halfway. And verse 15, while it is said today, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So you know what it is? Based verse 13, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The second thing will make his heart, his voice difficult to hear is unrepented sin. Unrepented sin. Sin you're hanging on to. Amen? Just some sin. That is some area of rebellion or self-will or pride or perversion or lust or anger or something the Holy Ghost is convicting of. You don't want to deal with it. You harden your heart to God. And the problem with hardening your heart, folks, is once you harden it, it gets harder and harder. And eventually the Holy Spirit will cease to contend with you. Did you know it says that in Isaiah? There's a point if you get so hard, you know, he tries to soften the heart. He'll just quit contending with you. He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, according to Romans 1. He'll turn you over. I mean, because you're so hard to do the things that are inconvenient. You begin to become reprobate and demonized. That's when demons come in. And then you go beyond not hearing his voice. You hear other voices that step in to fill the vacuum. And all of a sudden, you're believing lies and deceptions. His voice gets dimmer. But what's interesting is your conscience roars. I want to show you this roaring. Psalm 32:3. Did you know your conscience will roar at you? How many of y'all ever had a conscience roar at you? I think it's the Lion of Judah that lives in your conscience. He roars. He's not a tame pussycat. He's a lion. Psalm 32, verse 3. This is an amazing verse. You have to read it in the New American Standard. King James reads, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." Listen, New American Standard says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my roaring all the day long." You know what that is? That's your conscience. Jesus sits in your conscience. He will roar. Now, it's a healthy thing when the voice of the Lord roars in your conscience. That's healthy. You have a soft heart. And you better listen to the lion's roar. Amen? Because if you don't listen, at some point the roar will get dimmer and dimmer. And you won't hear it anymore. And then other voices come in. And you become demonized in that area and manifest bad fruit and endanger yourself. Look at the next verse. "For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My moisture," or in other words, "my vitality is turned to the drought of summer." Have you ever just sat there stubborn, willful, refusing to repent? Just absolutely no God, no. Huh? Come on, work with me here. Okay, you know people have. And what happens? All of a sudden, you know, it goes from your spirit to your soul. You start feeling miserable. This is if you're saved. And you start feeling miserable. And then you kind of, it's like all of a sudden you've crawled in a little box. And the light goes out. And then it hits your body. That's why it says, the day and night, my moisture, you can open yourself to disease and sickness, latent curses can manifest. I mean, dude, you are putting yourself in a wild place. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. And then finally, he said, okay, verse 5, all right. He repented between verses 4 and 5. Look, I acknowledge my sin. My iniquity I've not hid. All right, I'll confess it. I give up. And look at this. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Isn't that cool? Isn't that fine? Look at the next verse. "For this one, everyone that's godly, pray in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they will not come nigh to him." You know what that means? If you sit there long enough, the enemy will come in like water. Isn't that what it says? The enemy will come in like a flood. And you'll get drowned. And then you've lost. And I tell you what, it's very dangerous hanging out there in the demon world. And that's why we got to keep short accounts. There isn't a person at times hadn't dug their heels in a buck. Sure, God understands. Just keep quickly repent. Don't sit there and sap. You don't open yourself up to disease or sickness or ailments or curses or demonization or consequences or calamities in your life. Because God will allow, I'll tell you what, everything in your life to just flip over and he'll hit you right. I'll tell you what, he loves you and he'll hit you at the very thing that freaks you out. Parents, I hate to say it, but your kids are going to get hit. God doesn't want to do that, but you open the door? What kind of fool do you think? You're a foolish person. If you're out there in a rainstorm and you got a couple of kids and you got a big old umbrella and you decide to just close the umbrella, who's going to get wet along with you? Very dangerous. This is an evil world. And there are demons that, particularly if you presume to get out there and do radical things like Beth, who's getting out of her comfort zone and ministering to folks, right, Beth? Reaching out, and all of a sudden she got backlash physically. And I said, you know what, you ought to just get mad and say, oh, that's why you want to play, huh, devil? And just this week, Beth, go out there and minister to even more people. Pray, ask the Lord to open the door for more people. In fact, was that Friday night I prayed for you? She came up here, she'd had some backlash from reaching out to people and praying for the sick. And while I was praying for her, I had a vision and a prophetic word for her. That God, I could saw in the spirit you laying your hands on little children there at that place you work, at the Episcopal Church, and praying for them. And there was an anointing on you to do that. So, you know, be bold in the spirit. It's a war. So that's the second thing, folks, is unrepented sin. Hiding your heart and ignoring the roar. And the Holy Ghost will roar in your conscience. He will. And I know we've all heard that. So quickly repent. Can you hear amen? Can I amen? Third thing, last thing, John 18:36. We're talking about three reasons it's hard to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. Three things. First was inconsistent quiet times. Second was unrepented sin. It jams the airwaves. It's like sending up frequency vibrations to disturb the input data. And the third thing is in John 18:36. This is when Jesus stood before Pilate. And Pilate says, you know, basically says, what are you doing? What have you done? In verse 36, Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. Then I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. And Pilate said, oh, you're a king then. And Jesus said, you say that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. You ready? Everyone that is of the truth, what? Hears my voice. So what's the third reason that it's difficult to hear his voice? You ready? Believing lies. Just believing lies. Letting down your guard against deceptions. Well, here's the thing. Believing what's true to be a lie or what's lie to be true. Very, very dangerous. Jesus said, when you love the truth, guess what? You're going to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. You've got to fall in love with the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, if you do not believe the truth and embrace the truth and love the truth, God will send strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. And Satan is a liar and the father of lies, it says in John 8:44. He is the prince of lies. And he's always pouring lies in your head. There's constant lies coming at you all day long from the prince of lies, lying spirits. And they lie about God. You know their lie about God is he's mad at you. He's had it. He's had his belly full of it. You can't come into his throne boldly. Who are you kidding? You better get your act together. You better get yourself fixed. Then maybe he might think about possibly considering to accept you. That's a lie. Or he'll talk about himself. I am the devil, the almighty Oz. I mean, devil. How dare you come before me? You remember that from standing there? That's the devil. I am almighty. He belittles God. He magnifies himself. Oh, I'm afraid of demons. Or he'll talk to you about other people. Well, the reason that person just looked at you kind of sideways is because they think you're a jerk. And they think you're a lowlife. In fact, everybody does. You notice how everybody's looking at you sideways? In fact, they all don't like you. Nobody likes you. The only reason they like you in this church is because they have to. They'll go to hell if they don't love. But if they had an option, they would reject you. Right? The only way they love you is because Jesus said they had to love you. It isn't their choice. If it was left up to them, you'd be left in the corner. Can I, man? Have you ever heard anything like that? Or finally about you. You low life, no good. Well, I'm telling you, the devil will talk to you about yourself, God, himself, or others. That's the lies he pours on you. So you got to fight the devil with truth. Take up the sword of faith. The word of God. Amen. What is the truth? Well, the truth is I am a low life scum, but thank God for the blood of Jesus. The truth is that God was mad and angry at sin, but he executed all on Jesus. Jesus took the consequence of sin, and now there's nothing but mercy and love for me. It's his goodness leads from him. The truth is, Satan, you've been defeated and overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and I crush you right now in Jesus' name. Good night, amen. Let me tell you something. Guys, the best way to defeat the lies of the demons is to dwell in this thing. Now, I'm going to really lay it. Remember I talked earlier about you got to squirm. You need, the word needs to make you squirm. Listen, his voice mirrors the word, and the word mirrors his voice. He's not going to speak anything. But you know what? I'm going to ask you something. This is a precious gift we have, guys. Can any man? The word of God, the Bible we have. And unfortunately, many, many don't prioritize reading his word. You take it lightly. You spend maybe a token time in his word. Folks, God's called you to dwell in it. Bless you. Dwell in his word. Meditate on his word. Read his word every day. Default to the word of God. Amen? One time I gave a sermon, always keep a Bible within reach. Okay? Always, I mean, if you're at a desk or your car, I have one literally in my car, a little New Testament I can pull out of the stop sign. Sometimes the Lord will speak me down the freeway. I'll pull that thing out and I can flip to it. Oh, read the word. You know, what's sad is some of us fill our mind with so many other things other than God's word. And the word, the lies of sociological, psychological, economical, political, physical, spirit, every kind of lie is pouring through the media. It's just pouring through the media, and it's going to get a lot worse in the days to come. Can any man? And it's you got to know the truth, and it'll keep you at peace. Praise God. So that's really the message this morning, is what is it that'll cause us to hear and distinguish? Number one, quiet times. You got to discipline it, man. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some days I have my quiet time, and there's nothing particular supernatural phenomenon about it. I'm kind of putting in my time. I was thinking about the other day. This is the 25th year since I started having my quiet times. I started in the fall of 82, and in real, my whole life changed then. And for 25 years, by the grace of God, I've got up every morning, had a quiet time. And actually, after 25 years, every day, doing anything, there's some days are going to be stellar and some days less so. But I've just decided, have you ever gotten up and not brushed your teeth? I mean, it's just kind of, you don't want to be around anybody. It's slimy, you know? Maybe when you're in camping or something. Well, I look at quiet time. Is that important? It's like brushing your teeth. You've got to take care of your teeth physically. How much spiritually? Jesus said, if I spoke to you earthly things, how will you understand heavenly things? You know, if you can't even, Nicodemus, comprehend earthly things, how are you going to comprehend heavenly things? And then he told him a heavenly thing. Now, wonderful verse. I'm sure that's, you know what it is? I'm in heaven. Right there, standing in front of Nicodemus. Look at it, John 3. I'm in heaven. The Son of Man in heaven. And he was like, well, really? Yeah, and you can be in it. We are seated in heavenly places. So, but guys, we've got to put that. And the second thing is, you know, keep short accounts. Respond to the roaring of the Holy Ghost. Don't let it down to a meow. You know, if it's down to a meow, the Holy Ghost is meow, meow. Not good. You don't want the roar to be a meow. You want it to be a rah. Yes, Lord. Touch not, taste not, handle not, he says in Colossians 2. Amen? Touch not. Back off. No. Proverbs is real clear. Go not. Do not. You remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt what? Not. What part of this do you not understand? What part of thou shalt not do you not understand? Amen? Repent. You know what? Something I heard Bevere say the other day. I like this. I've got a series that changes. I've uploaded on my iPod called, was it Drawing Near? And he was in the Philippines or something, sharing, and something along the line of, and he read a different version, but the Lord is a friend to those that fear him. And I like that. The Lord is a friend to those that fear him. He's not a friend to those who simply love him. So you can love God all day long, That's me. I love God. In fact, somebody said, I have a love affair with God. That's sick. It's perverted. Not a love affair with God. You're a bond slave. Amen? They perverted this thing. He's my best buddy. No, he's a friend of those that fear him, humble themselves to his almighty sovereignty, and break before him and obedient to him to death. Then guess what? He manifests his friendship to them. He's the one that comes as a friend. He said, Abraham, my friend. Well, what did Abraham have to do to get the friendship? Be willing to offer who? Isaac. See, when he was willing to die, then guess what? The father said to the son, we have somebody in fellowship with. And the son said, yes, I have a friend down there. Somebody well understands that what reality is, that's a perverted world. It's got to be flipped absolutely. He's got to lose to find, die to live. And Abraham got it so he could talk to Abraham as a peer. 101. Moses was his friend. Moses said he heard his voice. They were on the same beam. My ways are not as your ways. My thoughts are not as far as the heaven is above the earth. So higher my thoughts than your thoughts, my ways than your ways. And you know, God really is looking for friends. Psalm 103 says, Israel saw his acts, but Moses knew his ways. A lot of us see his acts. We don't know him. Know him. Hear his voice. The best thing in life is the Lord to share the intimate things of his heart with you and show you things to come. That's cool. To have a friendship relationship with God. Amen. A peer. We're seated in heavenly places. That's what life is all about. Like I was saying Friday, God wants to get us off the negative side and on the positive side. It's not by coming to church and coming to ministry just to get healed and delivered and set free. That's just, you know, the negative side. The positive side is to walk in the authority of Jesus Christ from the heavenlies, executing his authority, binding and loosing. Walking in life, binding what's evil, loosing what's good. Bringing heaven on earth. In our workplace, in our jobs, doing the kingdom here. The deliverance and the healing is just to get you so you can do this. But most people, they get up to there, it's like Christianity is just psychological self-help so I can live a better life. No! So you can walk in the Spirit from the heavenlies and execute His righteousness. We saw that one Psalm 149. Execute judgment upon the heathen and the vengeance of God and the evil. To binding principalities and powers. Binding demons until you get free. And this week, every one of us is going to encounter situations where your spirit is grieved. Every one of us, somewhere, sometime, some person, situation, place, kid, parent, adult, friend, boss, something in the news, is going to grieve you. Something to stop reading the news and I get so grieved. And I go away and I feel the Holy Ghost say, well, pray. You're seated in the heavenlies. You have authority over the political world. Oh, I forgot. I'm a son of God. I can pray and bind powers of darkness. You know, they got an election season come up. That's always a scary, hairy time. Oh, Jesus. Lies flying everywhere. And so we need to pray, amen, and bind. Scary stuff going on. So what I've learned is when I get grieved in my spirit after reading the news, whatever, go off and pray. And when I'm dropped, take authority. And I always say, okay, that's right, I'm in the heavenlies, and I bind that power of darkness over Washington, over that political particular candidate's mind. I bind that deception. I bind it until I feel a release. And you know what stuff happens in the heavenlies? Or at your home with your kids. You're driving along, you bug because something's going on, you're worried about it. And because if that happens, then this has happened. And God's saying, stop! Pray! Get in the heavenlies! Take authority! Execute your... See, that's what getting free is all about, is so you can do the works of the kingdom. And push His kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You want to move in that kind of power? You got to repent! Repent! And the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's how you can move in the kingdom. You got to repent. You got to stop. Whatever you're doing is stubborn and hard-headed, self-centered and me, and running in little circles and never growing up and being a baby, being childish. Stop. Repent. And then walk in the Spirit, in the authority of the kingdom, and let God bear fruit. You'll have a whole lot better life. And when you get up there, you'll be a few notches higher than you would have been. Can I amen? That's all stand. That was Holy Ghost exhortation. Let's pray. I want you to pray this after me. Jesus, I am determined to quit leaning on the left side. Everything's about getting me fixed. I want to grow up and get on the other side where I walk in authority, fulfill my destiny, do the works of the kingdom, bear fruit for the Father, freak out the demons, and earn good fruit for eternity. Open my eyes this week to see the needs all around. Open my ears to hear the voice of the Spirit, to quickly obey as you give us opportunity. In Jesus' name. You got a song, brother?